And take the prayer request tonight, and then I'll ask Brother Horn if he don't mind to come and pray over these requests tonight. Brother Joel Moyer, I think from up in Ohio, has a testimony tonight. He'd like to thank the Lord that his daughter's health is improving and ask you to continue to pray for her. So we thank the Lord for that. Also, he has a request. He's meeting with an attorney tomorrow in regards to an injury at work. I think they're wanting to fire him, and he's just needing prayer in that situation. Sister Donna Pistole has a very special unspoken request for her son, Josh. If we could pray for him. And also Brother Tim Dodd, a pastor up in Canada, had a wife that's passed away, and I think that's somewhat of a younger couple. So let's remember that situation. I'm sure that's devastating for that family. From the library here, Brother Amos has sent a request in. Please pray for my dad, who had surgery today for skin cancer on his face and ear. It turned out to be more extensive than the doctor thought. His name is Brother Robert Simpkins. Thank you and God bless. That's actually from Sister Lisa. Please pray for Jerry Glenn. He's having a colonoscopy tomorrow. Pray those results will be good. Jeff Nunley's he's still sick, has a cough he can't get rid of. Another testimony, Brother Matthew, Sister Grace Carter. I want to thank the Lord for the safe arrival of Donovan Carter, 6 pounds, 11 ounces. Mom and baby are both doing fine, so Brother Matthew Carter wants to thank the Lord for that. Pray for Michael Probst, who is who's having back problems. Brother Pete Lawson, also down with his back, requesting the church pray for him. A co-worker, Donna Sneed, had mini stroke symptoms at work today. Sister Glenn turns that in. A friend of ours in Knoxville, Jay Husky, has brain cancer and asked for the church to pray for him. That's from the Bean family. Brother Horn asked that we pray for his granddaughter, Emmy. She's about 18 months old, has flu symptoms with high fever and severe dehydration. Took her to the ER today. It's Brad, his boy Brad's youngest child. So let's remember that request for the Horn family. Andrew Preston Krause, son of Chandra and Timothy Krause, born January 31st. And both mom and baby are doing great. So that's another testimony there. Also, the last request is for Sister Natalie Yance. She had to have emergency surgery for a large mass in her abdomen that had put a lot of pressure on her bladder and colon, and it was cancerous. She's also had 2 out of 9 of the lymph nodes that they biopsied that were cancerous. She's had a colostomy that she'll have for approximately 6 weeks. When she heals, and is she's going to be having 4 weeks of chemo, 5 days a week. She is to return to Chicago next week for further evaluation. So let's stand tonight and remember all these quests, and especially for Sister Natalie. That's got to be a fatiguing battle that she's fighting there. So let's just remember her tonight as Brother Terry comes.
Let's join our faith together tonight as we look to the Lord, as we pray. Lord Jesus, as we come to you, first of all, we want to say thank you that we have opportunity to come to church. Lord, we've certainly been enjoying the series that we've been hearing, not only the weekends, but on the Wednesday night, Lord, the secret of our lives. And Lord, we're thankful that many things that you had in the back part of your mind, you have revealed to us by divine revelation. And it's, to me, quite striking that even Satan, Lucifer, being in your presence and knowing the approach to God and how he was, as Brother M said, your right-hand man for all those years before the fall. And yet there's many things that he does not know that's been revealed to us. And even he did not realize that Jesus, incarnate God, walked upon the face of the earth. Otherwise, he'd never had him killed. But Lord, we're thankful for the secrets you have revealed to us. And the prophet said the rapture is a revelation. The bride will be waiting for that revelation. So, Lord, we're getting piece by piece, day by day, as we feed on the unfailing body, word of the Son of Man. We're happy, Lord, to be part of that eternal body. We thank you so much, Lord, for the plan of redemption. For 6,000 years, Lord, since the fall, just so many things, Lord, we could just speak about. We're just happy to be a part of it. We think about these requests, especially Sister Natalie, you be with her, touch her. Lord, give her a complete restoration of health, what she's had to go through with. But God, I know you're still an ever-present help in a time of need. Pray for Robert Simpkins. Sister Lisa's dad had a surgery. You know the need there in his body. I pray that you would touch him. Our little granddaughter, Emmy, you know what she's going through, dehydration. Lord, these flu symptoms, high fever, touch her, Lord, and make her altogether well. Each one of these requests that have been given in, Lord, you are able, not only able, you will, because somebody's going to have faith. Somebody's going to believe for these requests. Somebody's going to touch the hem of your garment tonight. And we're going to hear testimonies of what you have done, because you said, ask abundantly that your joys might be full. You said, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that you shall receive them and you shall have them. So, Lord, it's been your desire to give to your children good and perfect gifts which come down from above. Bless the servants, anoint the speaker, anoint our hearts to receive and pull on that gift of God. And may we go from the service saying, did not our hearts burn within us as he talked to us along the way? Bless us, keep us, and give us, Lord, of your grace day by day. Even though we go through these earthly trials, we don't think it's strange when the fire trials come our way, but that's part of the testing of the word. Give us grace tonight, Lord. We worship you, Lord, and we invite your presence in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Just a announcement tonight, there'll be a trustees meeting tonight directly after the service. So if you can remember that, let's sing Master of the Wind.
My boat of light sails on a troubled sea. Whenever there's a wind in my sail,
sorry about that.
But I have a friend who watches over me when the breeze turns into a gale. I know.
I love that verse about I know a man that can save anybody, anytime, any place, anywhere. We can look around the congregation, just some of the folks that we have in here tonight, and I can believe he can save anybody. There's some of these people in here I would hate to have met in a dark alley at one time, but they're gentle Christians now. Let's just sing that chorus again. Well, I know a man who can save anybody, anytime, any place, anywhere. And I know a man who can meet your need, anytime, any place, anywhere. Through the storm, meet you there, anytime, any place, anywhere. Rain or shine, he's on time. We don't have any special songs tonight, so if Harry will help me, we'll sing this, and maybe Brother Donnie can come on out. There was a request, actually, for me to sing. Looks like Mom's handwriting. I want to know how it feels, so it's not Mom's handwriting. I'm sorry, Mom. But let's sing I Want to Know How It Feels. Can you sing those verses for us tonight? G. Sing that first verse.
Eric, have we got that? If we don't, we're in trouble.
Well, let's go ahead and start with the chorus.
I want to know how it feels to make my way down the streets of gold. I want to know how it feels to have a talk with the saints of old.
The Lord. Well, that'll be a wonderful time. Let's bow our heads together if you would tonight. Lord Jesus, we so long for that great day, dear God. We're so thankful that you have made a way for us, a provision by which we would be able to go to such a place. Having come from that great realm, but when we left as a thought, not as actually a being. So therefore we cannot remember ever being there. We cannot remember existing, but we are told that we were a salt in your mind, an attribute of you. So Father, then we ask that you, the great shepherd, would guide us back into that great paradise. Help us along life's journey, Lord, for the many things that we face that can become so overwhelming at times. But we're grateful that you're always here to help us. Hold our hand, nudge us along, and give us courage. Speak to us tonight again, would you, Lord? by your word. We love you tonight, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1. Brother Charlie, buddy, did the snow clear off enough to let you fly up, you and Sister Chevy? You snowbirds have returned for a few days. Second Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1. I'd like to speak to you tonight on this thought. I knew a man. It is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ about 14 years ago. Whether in the body, I cannot tell. Whether out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. Such an one caught up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man. Whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. How that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. May the Lord bless his words. You may be seated. I knew a man. It must have been quite an honor to have known such a man. It must have been quite a burden to have known such a man. It must have been quite a blessing to have known such a man. It must have been quite a test to have known such a man. It must have been quite glory to have known such a man. Must have been a lot of infirmities to know such a man. Must have been beyond explanation to have known such a man. And it must have been many heartaches to have known such a man. You can see why that God would only allow a limited group of people to know such a man. For to know such a man comes with a very great price. Now, it's amazing when you read this, because Paul actually sets forth two Pauls in these verses. He separates himself from that visitation into the presence of God, into paradise. And he says in verse 2, I knew a man in Christ. Now watch how he refers to this as if though it was not him. Because in one way it wasn't. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago. Whether in the body, I cannot tell. Whether out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. Such an one caught up into the third heaven. Amen. Now watch how he separates I knew a man. I knew a man in Christ about 14 years ago. Whether in the body, I cannot tell. Or out of the body, I cannot tell. So the man that he knew was not the flesh man. Because had it been the flesh man, he would have known. Well, I knew it was the body because I actually felt and I know. But whatever man it was that he knew, it was separate from the flesh man, because he wasn't even sure he was in flesh in this visitation. So Paul introduces us into this great mystery after 14 years of holding it in his own heart. And with that, he separates himself from himself. Now, there is a Paul which was raptured and a Paul which stayed. There was a Paul that entered into glory and a Paul that would suffer because of it. Amen. A Paul that could be gloried in and never get exalted, and a Paul that would have to be punished the rest of his life because of the abundance of this revelation. Now, if you'll notice, he separates his spiritual self and he makes his spiritual self the highest, truest Paul. And then he makes Paul the man, the lowest of the two. Now, what's the word that he uses here? He says, whether in the body, out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth such an one caught up. Now, he doesn't say was caught up, but he says such an one caught up. Now, look at this word with me. It means taken by force, catch away, to seize, carry off by force, to seize on. Now, this is the root word that we get the English word rapture from. So if you want to kind of get a good idea of what the rapture is going to be, it's going to be taken by force, catch away, to seize, and carry off by force. Glory to God. Carry away, snatch away, carry off by force. So Paul says, I knew a man that actually was, and the Greek root word here was rapt. R-A-P-T. I knew a man that was rapt away. Caught away into a realm, and I knew this man, but it was not me, but I knew him. But because of this acquaintance, he would suffer the rest of his life because of knowing that man. Now, before I go any farther on this, I'd like for you to look at yourself in this light for a few minutes. And then you may wonder why that you would be allowed to go through a bunch of different things in life. And maybe your understanding has not been brought to this level, that it would be because of the acquaintance of one that you know. Now, none of us, no doubt, will ever say this, what he said, that I knew a man about 14 years ago, whether in the body or out of the body, I can now tell, God knoweth, but such an one was carried up into heaven, and he repeats it again, and then he comes on and said, such an one was carried up into paradise, heard things that was not lawful for a man to utter. No doubt we will never be allowed to go into such a place. But I wonder if we could be able to convey that I also know a man who's been able to hear of what God is doing in this day. I too know a man. Do you know a woman? Do you know a woman? Do you sisters know a woman? Do you young people know a young person who's been allowed to enter into the presence of God and hear things that is not even able to be uttered in the majority of the mass of religious conventions around the world? Have you sat in this place and in different meetings where you've been allowed to go and you have heard words preached that would be absolutely blasphemy to the majority of Christendom, yet you sat there and you were allowed to hear those things and actually believe them and see what was said? Could not you and I say tonight, I know of such a man that has been allowed to sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus? I know a woman, I know a girl, I know a middle-aged man that has heard things that people would absolutely think you're nuts for believing. I also know such an one that has been caught up in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Because of my acquaintance with this, my friend, I suffer much because of it. Let me say it on my level as you can say it on yours. Because of my acquaintance with a man who's been allowed to feast on heavenly things, it has caused this man much sorrow. Because I know a man that's been saved by the hand of Almighty God. I know a man that's received the token life. I know a man that's heard the message of the hour, and it's not just intellect to that man, but he knows it by quickening power. And because of my acquaintance with that man, This man here suffers because of it. Do you understand what I'm saying? Now watch how Paul sets his forth that there is one that was raptured up. That one he can glory in and he feels no condemnation in doing it. But there is another one that he cannot glory in at all because of its weakness. It will have attached to it certain infirmities which will be absolutely necessary to keep it where it needs to be. So therefore he can only glory in that one because of the attachment of the infirmity. So he doesn't glory in that Paul and say that Paul was carried up into paradise because he wasn't even sure if he was in the body or out of the body. So there's no glorification that would go to the flesh. But he receives an understanding by the hand of God that helps enlighten this man. Knowing that he's going to suffer the infirmities and the inflictions that will come upon him. And he glories not in a trip to paradise from the body. He does not glory in that he was such a great preacher. But he actually glories in the infirmities and classifies them as gifts from God. Now, this seems peculiar. But yet Paul has a revelation that the shepherd loves him so much. He's giving him this care that this sheep needs as long as he's in this body. Amen. Now, Paul, what was the reason of him going for 14 years? I'm not sure because I wasn't really able to find. You imagine a man holding this in his heart for all of these years, waiting to be able to share it. So Paul was raptured. Now he says in verse 3, I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell, God knows. Now let's move, if we can, into this day and the adoption of what Brother Ben said, may I have the privilege of saying this, which maybe I do not. If I do not, then I pray God forgive me. But if I have the privilege, it was that God let me be caught up to see something. I would refer to the first heavens. And then I believe one in the Bible by the name, I believe it was Paul, he said that was caught up into the third heaven. And if it was this glorious in the first heavens, what does that third heaven hold? No wonder he couldn't speak of it for 14 years. Now look, for whatever reason, God took Paul into a higher realm than he allowed Brother Branham to go. Now you pick on that, you do whatever you want to, it's just exactly what he said. God had a reason for taking Paul where he did. He had a reason for taking John where he allowed him. And he had a reason for taking Brother Branham where he went to. Now that's God's own choice. I don't know why God does those things. We just accept it. But he says no wonder that he couldn't speak about it for 14 years. He said he did not know whether he was in the body or out of the body with that great apostle not to share his office. Now I want you to notice how this has changed now in the message. When Brother Branham would refer to himself and then relate to an experience that he had, notice how he approached Paul. He did not make Paul look like a kindergarten boy. He did not make Paul look like he didn't have no sense. He did not make him look like he was some kind of child that didn't have no understanding. But Brother Branham actually put himself under Paul by experience. Friends, what have we done in this message? What have we done? We've annihilated these examples that have been left to us. My thing. Brother Branham even said, if I couldn't even do this, and I pray God would forgive me. Well, I just read it to you. Look how he approaches this. My, notice how he puts that apostle and lays it there. Not to share his office or to try to make ourselves anything like he was. But I can say with him, I don't know whether I was in the body or out of the body. Only thing that was just as real as I'm looking at you. Now he says, no wonder I believe Paul was caught up into the third heaven and he saw things that it wasn't expedient for him to speak of. And one day he said, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, nor is it entered the heart of man what God has in store for them that love him. Listen to this. We are living in a dump pile down here. Just a rubbish heap full of smoldering smoke. Even if we're not contaminated with it ourselves, we're living in it. We've been washed, we've been redeemed, we've been saved, we've been filled with the Holy Ghost, but we still smell like this dump. We still have to put up with the stench of the nonsense of it.
Oh my, even if we're not contaminated with ourselves, we're living in it where the smoke is coming from the smoking embers of sin. Now this is the best that life can offer. Notice in verse 4 now, Paul says, how that he was wrapped. R-A-T-T, wrapped up into paradise. And he heard unspeakable words. There are some words that come from heaven that are allowed to be repeated. There are messages that come from heaven to a messenger that will be related in a way that the people can receive it. There are some words that are only for that one who is there. Now, for whatever reason, God fixed this visitation. Now, this was around 54 AD, something like that, when Paul writes this. So, 14 years back to that, and you look in the book of Acts where Paul is at, and it's really easy to see all the man is going through. So no doubt God had a reason as far as making it a blessing to him and a help to him during that time. And it was not something that was needful for him to write down and report to us. So he simply says that it was unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. So then that gives to us a secret in God, that a man may hear and know more than he ever speaks. Now think of that. A man may hear and know more than he ever speaks, because they are for his ears alone. For him, I really believe much of our experiences and things that go on in our life, they're not for us to tell everybody else about and brag about. They are for ourselves alone. And if we're not careful, spiritual pride will get involved and the Lord will do a little something for us and we go to bragging on it like it's something that we've done. Well, I prayed and prayed and prayed and God done this and this and this. You understand what that is? Spiritual pride. Well, I didn't figure you'd say amen, but it's the truth anyhow. Now, notice this. Paul, now he's going to move. Remember now, he had many enemies, of course, in Galatia, and many enemies in Corinth. And many of the people had already accused Paul of bragging. They'd already accused him. They said, well, you know, and his words are weighty, but his bodily presence is very small. So he had enemies that kept coming right in behind him, and they would attack him. They would come right in the churches that he started, and they would come in behind him and attack the man. You know, it's really sad, but spirits don't die, and they do the same thing today. So now notice here Paul says, of such an one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in my infirmities. So he separates this man that he knew from this man that he was. Now he says, in that man who had that visitation, I can glory in him because he is not me and I am not him. So I can glory in that man and I will not get in trouble. I can honor that man. I can exalt that man. But I must separate that man from me. And the only thing that I can glory on in me is my infirmities. Y'all ain't getting it, but you will. Just keep hanging with me. I'll keep repeating it till you do. Now watch, he separates. Now the reason I keep saying this is because I want you to be able to see yourself and this unfolding. You know, friend, it's really sad that we are so confident in our flesh. Many of us, I really believe with all my heart, we are more confident about our flesh than we are about our soul. We're more confident about the human part and about all of that than we are our own walk with God and our own faith in our own walk with God. But yet Brother Ben tells us about Jesus. He looked into the Word and he read what the Word said about it, and he gave him faith in his position. Then he said, cannot you have faith in what the Word says about you? So we have confidence. Boy, I can do this, I can do that, and I can do something else. But why is it when it comes to our experience, I'm not sure I have the faith. I'm not sure I can. I don't know if I can. I don't. You mean you've got more confidence in this than you do your walk with God? Some of y'all got ever confidence that you're a complete failure. You've got so much confidence in yourself that you'll never make it. You've got such confidence in yourself that you're probably going to be sick. You're going to die of cancer. You've got absolute confidence you're going to get run over by a truck. You've got all this. Why would you put so much faith in that? And you're coming, well, I ain't got no faith. I'm not a good Christian. I don't know if I'll be in the rapture. No, what in the world's the matter with us? Now, As Paul severs himself from himself, and he says, of this one that I knew, I will glory in him. Yet of myself, I will not glory but in my infirmities. Now this one, I do not feel ashamed to glory and say was caught up into paradise and lifted into the presence of God. But of the one who's doing the talking, the only thing I can say about him is he needed infirmities to keep him down. Now watch how he severs himself. Of such a woman I glory, yet of myself. Paul, who are you talking about? I'm talking about both of me. Did you understand? This is Romans 7 again. This is Romans 7 again. This man that's causing him all the trouble, the very reason Paul needed a thorn in the flesh was because Romans 7 was still active. Of such an one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in my infirmities. Notice, of myself, my own being, my body, my flesh, I will not glory. I will not make it as some great idol. I would to God we could get that. I wish every person in this church would come to the spot to realize you are not the standard of this church, nor of this message, nor of this world. God has not called none of you women, none of you men, none of you preachers, including me, to be the standard for anybody else in this message. Whenever we judge people by, I don't like me and mine, you understand what we're doing? We're exalting ourselves above the standard of the Word of God, friends. And we want to exalt our flesh, and there ain't one of us here tonight, our old flesh ain't as stinking and stinking and rotten as it can be, because you're off that old rubbish heap. If there's anything worth glorying in all of us, it is, I knew a man that got saved. I knew a man that got the Holy Ghost. I knew a man that's heard the voice of God. Amen. Yet in my flesh, I will not glory. So here's two Pauls. One was raptured. And the other one wasn't. One was caught up. The other one wasn't. One heard the voice of God and could repeat it. The other one heard the voice of God and did. And this is what he heard the voice of God say. My grace is sufficient for you. Boy, that ain't very encouraging words when you're praying for healing and deliverance, is it? So one Paul heard words he could never repeat. And the other Paul heard words that was telling him, I am not going to move this from you. You need this. Now notice verse 6. For though I would desire to glory, he had a mind to, I shall not be a fool. Well, that's one advantage he had over many of us. We desire to glory and go ahead and act the part of a fool and do it. Well, glory. Notice now, he said, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth. But now I forbear lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. Now what's the balance of how Paul wants to project it to the people, that even though he's been carried away and allowed to see things above his brethren, he does not want them to think he's the only one. He does not want them to believe that they're to stay home and just read his epistles. So that's why he kept constantly telling about Titus and Timothy and Philemon, all the rest of these preachers. Glory. Now remember the Laconians at Lystra. Whenever they saw Paul and Barnabas doing the great works, they said the gods have come down among us. Whenever Paul shook the viper off of his hand on the Isle of Melita and he did not die, they thought again he was a god, either that or a criminal. It's amazing how people judge a preacher. He's either a criminal or a god. So Paul said, I don't desire you to think nothing above me than what you're able to see lived out of my life. Oh my. Now watch verse 7. Unless I should be exalted above measure. Which Paul? Now which one? The man I knew or the man I am? Now remember, the one I knew is the seed gene. Pride don't touch him. He's the Word. Once he's born again, he's the Word. Amen. Pride, this type of pride, does not come from the Father of lights. It comes from the devil. So then, lest I should be exalted above measure. I who? I, Paul, the flesh man. The unconverted man. The man of Romans 7:25. The man he packed around with him. And because that man is still there, you mean to tell me the new birth never eradicated that? Boy, he had a weak Holy Ghost, didn't he? I mean, compared to what some of the message preachers preach, and once you get born again, you'll never have no more problems with this flesh. That's a lie. Lest I should be exalted. Look at this word exalted. Exalt oneself. To lift or raise up over something. To lift oneself up. Oh, glory. We might ought to dismiss right now. You mean Paul had the potential of raising himself up above others? How? This man was born again, wasn't he? He had the token, had the Holy Ghost, had the Spirit of God. How could he do that, Brother Darrell? Because the part that didn't have the Holy Ghost is the part that can do it. When I would do good, Donnie is always with me. Or Jim, or Buzz, or Dan, or Susie, or Carol, or whoever. Right? Because, notice, can you imagine people coming around Paul and trying to encourage him, oh brother, bear your burdens. One day it'll all be over. And you'll get to go to heaven. He could say, that's why I'm carrying this. I've been to heaven. If I hadn't been there, I wouldn't be packing this. But because me, the real Paul, went to heaven, this other Paul has to pay. You wonder why when you sit in these pews and this word feels like it's carrying us out of here and we soar in Christ. My goodness, by Sunday evening, you wish you'd have went to heaven and all you got to deal with when you get back to the house. Oh my, on Monday morning or whatever more, your family and your job and all the things that are around us every day of our life. And you think, Lord, why didn't we just leave out Sunday morning when the Holy Ghost was so good? I know a man, I know a woman, I know a young teenager that has been in the presence of God and soared in the presence of God. And in that one, I can glory. But in this one, in my infirmities. Now watch why this is given to this man. Lest I should be exalted above measure. To lift up or raise oneself up above something. To lift self up. Be haughty. To carry oneself haughty. To carry oneself haughty too. Behave insolent towards one. I'm just going to coast. So he said, Brother Donnie, are you trying to say that there might be somebody here like that? Everybody that has a pocket mirror, please get it out. Turn it face inwards like this. Now watch. He says, lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations. Not because he had so many Cadillacs. Not because his house was bigger than somebody else's. because it was worse more, and his converter business was bigger than that guy's or that guy's or his painting business or whatever more. But because of revelations that he never even asked for. A call that he never even wanted. But given to him by the divine sovereignty of God. And God flooding this man with revelation after revelation after revelation. And his soul being caught up in that realm of God. And when he would come back down, then the intellect could say, my goodness, what come out of my mouth today? Lord have mercy, them words, where did that come from? Don't you understand, no matter how great a gift a man's in his life, he still has to use that human instrumentality to come out of here to say it? The cause of the measure, or above the measure rather, through the abundance of the revelations, lest I should become spiritually proud. I'm going to tell you, friends, there'll be more folks around this message that will wind up being lost over this thing right here. And then smoking, miniskirts, pornography, homosexuality. There'll be more wind up in hell over this right here, spiritual pride. Oh, Lord Jesus. Whew. My. Notice, so revelations, what a great effect they have on the soul. But because the soul still is housed in this body, and the body shares knowledge of those revelations. Oh, you understand? The body hears it, and the body shares knowledge of it. And if it's a preacher, the body is what's used to speak it. And then if that man don't keep himself in check, he'll begin to look around and think, you know what? There ain't no other preacher preaching this but us. Well, I'll tell you one thing now, man. If they want to get on board, they better get on to our internet service. And they better begin to, if they want to hear these things, we're the only one that's got it. Come on, church! And if the preacher won't do that, then the people in the church will. Don't you never forget it, Happy Valley. God's got men all around this world preaching this word. He ain't just got one here and maybe another over there. Your four favorite preachers. He's got people on every continent of this old globe. And he's got men of God there to feed them what they need. Lord Jesus. So this preacher was in danger of spiritual pride. Of becoming so exalted. That maybe this other little preacher come up and say, praise the Lord. The Lord sent me over to so-and-so. And we had a meeting over there and three or four people got saved. And I got so carried up in the presence of God. I just felt like I could almost see on the other side. Paul had to be careful. Then walk up and say, who do you think you are? You ain't seen nothing like I've seen. Peter, James, John, all the rest of you. None of you knows what I know. Oh, glory. Now, let me tell you something. This ain't just limited to preachers. Women can get it. Teenagers can get it. Old people can get it. Ugly people can get it. Pretty people can get it. Rich people. People that bathe three times a day. People that bathe three times a year. All kinds of people can get it. Do you understand? Somebody that drives a 1967 Volkswagen can have just as much pride as a person that gets a brand new Cadillac every year. We don't think so. We don't think so. It's because of the way we look at it. And we're looking at it wrong. This is part of the original fall of Satan in the beginning. Pride. being so proud. And you're this apostle. Now watch him. As a man, you can tell in his writings and reading and by his life that he mentions before he came to Christ, he had this tendency. He leaned toward this intellectual, smart, leaned toward this thing that he knew something above the others. And when he got saved, all of that wasn't took out of his flesh. Because if it had been, he'd have been thorn free. Isn't it amazing that thorns accompany revelations? Ooh, that's a painful thought. Ooh. Oh God, reveal yourself. Oh God, reveal this, reveal that. Are you sure you want what comes with it? Oh my. So the new birth didn't take away the possibility of spiritual pride. A vision to heaven did not take away the possibility of spiritual pride. Being an apostle, being a prophet, being a preacher, being all of this, none of that took it away. So God gave him something that wouldn't exactly take it away, but help manage it. Something real sharp on one end, and you stick it in and gouge until the recipient screams bloody murder. And then when the flesh is calmed down, you back it out a little bit. And then the recipient has some relief. And then the recipient will receive more revelations. And then the tendency there in the flesh will begin to rise. And then you push it in again. So it's in and out, in and out, in and out. How long, Brother Donnie? The rest of his natural life. Then we wonder why we have such troubles. Look at yourself. What would you be if God didn't have troubles coming your way? Think of it, friends. Well, glory. Now, Paul realizes, now this is after the revelation has been made known to him of the purpose of the infirmity being a gift. Now he can write with illumination of how that this has come to pass in his life. Before he couldn't understand it. If he would have wrote about this before the understanding of the thorn, no doubt he would have expressed it in a total different way. But now he expresses it from the person of the wrapped one. And the unwrapped one. And he shares what the wrapped one, great things that he saw that he couldn't even utter. And then he reveals to us the condition that the unwrapped one must deal with because of knowing such a man. Amen. Now when he becomes a Christian, the new birth goes inside of that soul and gives the breath of life to that seed of God. But he leaves this body a Jew. Just like he left yours a Gentile, black, white, red, yellow, Chinese, Japanese, whatever you were. He leaves that. And your training and your teaching and traditions and things that you've received years and years and years embedded to you as a child or going to church. Those things are still there. And will take years for that word to root it out. Because it's embedded where? In your flesh, in your spirit, in your mind, in your intellect. Now if you were proud, if you were arrogant, if you had a problem with the temper or this, that, and the other. And we know the new birth comes in there and my, he gives that control inside of there. But does he totally wipe out everything of the flesh? He does not. So here this something is left in Paul. Now you know, you look at it and you think, why would God even give such a thing to such a man? Why wouldn't God find another man that it wouldn't bother him? Probably because there is none. There ain't no men like that, or women. There is no men or women that are born through sex desire that are without this capability of pride. Now, I hope this don't shock you too bad, but this kind of pride only aims at revelated people. This kind of pride will never touch this type, an intellectual person. But it's more on those who are reveling. This is not intellect that Paul is getting this. He does not linger, well, I studied so much, and I preached so many sermons, and I thought, boy, I don't need the Holy Ghost no more to lead me, and I just preach with or without the anointing. That's not where it's at. It's because his experiences exceeded all of his brothers. And what he heard and what he saw was far above what any other man in the New Testament ever saw, even John. Even though John saw heaven, he didn't say what Paul saw. What John saw, he could write down and tell us. What Paul saw, he could tell nobody. It must have really been something. And this man goes, and when he comes back, God says, Paul, I'm your shepherd. And I love you so much. I wonder, thinking today, I wonder as our shepherd, as he looks at us as humans and sees how we're still left in these prisons when we're converted. Brother Jim, how it must break his heart that he has to stick those thorns in our sides or in our feet, wherever it is. How it must break the shepherd's heart that he has to out of love, because knowing these bodies have the potential of all of this wretchedness and corruption. Whew. Now you realize there's hardly a sin knowledgeable to man that is more subtle, sly, and deceiving than spiritual pride. A preacher who can out-preach others. A man or a woman who can out-pray others. A person who can out-sing or out-play on the guitar or the organ, whatever more. A person who can write songs and they're so talented above their brothers. But yet it's all for the glory of God, they say. All for the honor of the kingdom, they say. Come on. I wonder sometimes as I read a lot of our things that we're doing around the message, and I think, I wonder if Jesus and Brother Branham would really be proud of all the numbers we throw around. As a matter of fact, I read a quote the other day to Carol where Brother Branham was talking about some of the things that God had done. He said, of course, we just keep that among ourselves. He said we wouldn't really want it publicized, lest people would think we thought it only happened here. Oh my, we do this, and boy, we're doing this, and we're doing this, and we're doing this. I wonder, how are we doing that and keeping our left hand from knowing what our right hand doing at the same time? Well, y'all getting quiet on me all the time. Friends, this sin is so subtle and so sly.
Yes, it is.
Watch this. When their eyes are open, Brother Branham says, you notice Paul, the great revelation that he had of Jesus Christ, who he was. And it was so great to know, well, God put it in the Bible. That's how great it was. That's the reason he was given a thorn in the flesh. Now listen, Brother Brown, break it down to where we can understand it. To keep him down. So he wouldn't get big and exalted. God kept him down and small. So he could use him in different parts of the country. Do for him what he wanted to do because he had the revelation of Jesus Christ. Who he was. Well, what about the Holy Ghost? You mean the Holy Ghost don't do stuff like that? The Holy Ghost don't get rid of all your problems? Sometimes I think we need to go back to the simple basics and start from there. Oh my. Watch this. Brother Branham in the sermon, Pride in Campbellsville, 1955. Oh, pride, such a... I wonder if we understand what pride really is. I wonder if we do. You think it's just because a person combs their hair, or they don't want their hair to get messed up, or they don't want, you know, they have to have a certain, is that what you think pride is? Well, how was it that affected the devil? The devil sprayed his hair up in heaven and a wind come through and blowed her hair out, and Satan fell out of heaven because her hair blowed out. Satan got angel dust on his shoes and he said, man, I can't handle this, and God kicked him out of heaven. Do we really understand what pride is? Do we understand how broad that it is? Some women, when they come to the Lord and they let their hair grow up, Brother Ben said, if they're not careful, they'll get a pride. And yet they're fulfilling the Word of God and keeping the Word of God. And they get their hair growing and think, man, this looks a lot better than it did all bobbed off. Sure does. You look like a woman instead of a dog. You look like a woman instead of a poodle. Huh? And they get rid of their indecent dresses and they look godly and say, you know what? I actually look better now than whenever I did. And if you're not careful, spiritual pride will move in. And you're keeping the Word of God. Notice, friends, these words, oh, pride, such a cursed thing, so awful, so evil, so evil is pride. What's this? When our sister standing here has been bound by an oppression of Satan, foul spirits have tried to put pride upon her. Good Lord, you mean that pride is associated with demons? Whew. My, but thou art here to remove this curse of the enemy. So pride is a curse of the enemy. Do you understand? To be delivered from pride, it's a miracle. For pride to be kept away from your life, not just in your house and your car and your dress, but many of you will never fight it so much there. It's your spiritual pride. Of projecting what you know and what you think you know. And a preacher will leave out a word and a quote and you know so much you just have to say it outright, don't you? You know what that is? Pride. You want to show how much you know. How knowledgeable you are. What an understanding you have. That don't lift you up in the eyes of Christians. Nor God. My goodness. For you said in your last words from your sacred lips as you were leaving the world, you said these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. Listen to this. Help me, dear God. This duel of faith against the enemy. Not with cancer, not with TB, but with pride. Demons that have tried to put pride on this woman. And here stands a prophet of God in a duel. You know what a duel is, don't you? A duel. Did you know that in heaven that the devil was God's right-hand man in the beginning? That Lucifer, the son of the morning, was given power. And the reason he brought sin into the world, he was able to take something that God had created and pervert it back to an evil thing, which started all this trouble in the beginning. And then God, back before the foundation of the world was ever laid, when he seen what Satan done, in his pride, went over in the north and set up a kingdom. So over here's the kingdom of light, and over here's the kingdom of pride. A kingdom established upon this principle. Proud. Proud. Arrogant. Better than the rest of the angels. He was brighter, right? He was brighter. Given exceeding my characteristics of beauty and even God-like characteristics. And God couldn't make him sin, but he made him dust to where he could with a soul. So he one day looks around and looks at himself and said, man, compared to the rest of them angels, I'll shine them 2-1. I'm God's right-hand man. If God wants to fellowship with anybody, He calls me. Man, I'm closer to God than anybody. Do you understand, friends? Folks who have a close walk with God are in danger of this. Because if they're not careful, they will not divide the man I knew and the man I am. And they will let them come over and they will think everything they ask God for, God does it. Boy, I just ask God and I pray and I do this and I do that. Man, everything, you know what's going to happen? That person's going to have some real trials. And they're going to have some prayers that's not going to be answered. They're going to have some questions that they're not going to understand because God wants them to see they do not control Him. And He will sever them from their self to see every time they call, they don't get what they want. I knew a man. Any of y'all know any, or you just want to say, I don't know it. I don't know that. Notice in his pride, he went over in the north and set up a kingdom and fought against Michael and his angels. Do you see it? Oh my. Notice again, he said, now look at Cain. He come with sincerity. But look in the background, his daddy, the devil. He was influenced by his daddy. The reason in heaven he was up there, he set up a kingdom more beautiful, more elaborate, pretty than what Michael's was. He tried to get a greater kingdom. That's why he was kicked out. No whiskey, no smoking, no cigars, no television. Pride. You understand why a lot of folks around this message, you understand what they're working under. When they think they don't need to hear some spitting, slobbering preacher preach to them. Pride. They think they can sit at home and listen to a tape and get just as much out of that tape as a gifted man of God. And they will never go in the rapture with that on them because that's the spirit of that other kingdom. Friends, don't come here and sit in this church and think, well, I don't really need that. You get that thing off of you. Amen. Do you realize that will cause you to be lost? Amen. You can be as poor as you can be and ain't got enough money to buy yourself a hamburger at the church and eat up a spiritual pride and be lost. Amen. Do you understand there's people listening to Brother Ram's tapes and they will be lost because they are anointed with the spirit of this kingdom of the north. Amen. When any preacher gets to a place that he thinks his church cannot make it without him, he's on his way out. Listen to me. We have made it all these years without Brother Branham being here in the flesh. And if we have, it proves to me Happy Valley can make it without Donnie Reagan. Oh, so I don't know how. That ain't none of your business, no how. If God takes me, He'll have somebody here to help you. Unless you and your pride say, no, I'll never receive nothing from nobody. He's my pastor. But if that's God's will, then God will send you somebody else. Come on, church. But unless you move over here, I can't receive nothing. Well, glory. I don't figure there's going to be much shouting after this service, you all. We'll kind of haul ourselves out to the meat wagon and see if he can pour a little oil on us. And... oh, God, help us. Kicked out, pride, duty, stuck up. And when he come here, there was a nature of him right in his boy. And it hasn't died yet. So reckon where you get it. That's right, old big church, I belong to the biggest church in town. That don't mean not one thing. What is it? How is your heart with God tonight? That's the thing. That's the question. So here Paul has the potential. And the shepherd looks at it and says, I know him. I know him too. I can see him with that potential left in this unconverted part to get exalted above his brothers. I wonder sometimes when we go through such trials and through such things in our life that not are self-inflicted. It's not things that we cause. It's not things that we do. It seems like you get out of one of those things and you go into it and say, Lord, what in the world is going on? I wonder if those things were taken from our lives, I wonder what we would be. I wonder if the shepherd isn't looking at us and saying, you don't like these tests, you don't like these trials, but I love you and I'm going to send them there to keep you where you need to be. As I said to you the other night, friends, for some of the folks who come to this church and got into big business and making big money, were they better off when they had less? Or are they better off now? They're driving better cars, living in bigger houses, and making more money, and don't come to church no more. Wonder when they're better off. I'd rather live on the side of the road in a pup tent, pick up pop bottles and eat soda crackers and drink branch water, and my soul be right with God to have all the money in the world and wind up going to hell. Or being backside of God, have to beat the daylights out in order to come to your senses. Come on, church! So you think, what is it? Then if God looks at Donnie Reagan and said, because I've given him a gift to be a certain thing, I've got to accompany this and this and this with that gift in order to keep Donnie where I can use him. Whew. Brother Bram says, in the unwelcome Christ, oh God, have mercy on this sinful world. What a horrible curse pride is. Preachers will stand in the pulpit in this message and preach on homosexuality, and they'll preach on this curse and that curse and that curse and eat up with one of the most horrible curses there is. Pride. Oh, you're too good. Sure, we go to church, we know better than that. We don't believe in divine healing. My, we have nothing to do with that. Pharisee, Jesus is in your town. Entertain him. Love him. Embrace him. Well, then the first thing an old Pharisee said, see, I told you he wasn't a prophet. He would have known. Said, look at that woman. Will even ruin his reputation. How blind. Oh, my. Oh, pride is such an evil thing. Listen, he thought that woman would ruin his reputation. I love this. Why, brother? Jesus' reputation was made in the presence of sinners. So you're this Pharisee looks in his pride. Oh my, he's all burnt out, you know, he's all bent out of shape because that woman come in and said, boy, Jesus, his name is ruined. My name is ruined. He said, oh no, you got an exact opposite. My name is made by sinners being saved. My name is made by folks getting filled with the Holy Ghost. It might hurt your North Kingdom and not the Light Kingdom. Glory to God. Oh my. Brother Bram says, I found out that Samson fell because of Delilah, the woman. I found out Saul fell because of pride. And Balaam fell because of money. My. So here's the three things that Brother Branham told us that we must watch. Did Brother Brandon have to fight it? Oh, y'all go. Sure he had to fight it. Remember him standing out there in Phoenix and had to come back and apologize to the people and said, I stood up here and made challenges that Jesus himself didn't even make. And I said, if God don't heal him, I'm a false prophet. He said, I was wrong. I shouldn't have said such a thing. What was it? Pride. Well, glory. When Judas fell by transgression, by the love of money and the pride of life, he fell from grace and went to his place. Watch this, I stand at the door and knock. There's another little door called pride. Oh, what a horrible little black devils is all pinned up in the heart of pride. Thinking that you're better than somebody else. But in our minds, when we hear these things, a lot of times we think, oh, it's just people in a financial status. Not always. It can be in the spiritual status to where you say, what do you think about the rebel? Oh, brother, I don't understand that. And, you know, I'm kind of looking for Brother Brandon to come back. And we thought, you old return ministry person. Why you God. And what kind of person was you before he opens your understanding? Well, I tell you one thing. I believe I could help you if you'd let me. I believe I could. If you don't slow down, you're going to choke yourself to death in your I can tongue. Right. We can make a mess is what we can make without the Spirit of God helping us. Do we think we have the ability to do this on our own, friends? We cannot do it. We cannot give a person a revelation if God don't do it. We can never do it. We can share with them what we see. Well, I wouldn't send my children over there. They don't dress right. The people who goes there isn't my class. If Christ is Lord in your heart, we're all one class. Let me just tell you something. Whether your clothes comes from the mall and you go there directly and buy them yourself, and you pay the uppity up prices for them, and you walk out in style, or you go to Goodwill after they're out of style and walk out in them, we're still in one class. Whether you drive a Volkswagen with a baling wire that's tied the front fender on and you have to do the hand to windshield wipers like this by hand with your arm stuck out the window coming to church. Or you're sitting out there in a $75,000 vehicle, whether it be sitting out in the parking lot. We are one class when it comes to the Lord Jesus. Whether your house is 580 feet or 5,875 feet, He does not look at you in the way the world does. We're all one class because one spirit. We're baptized into one body. Pride! That little complex you have. You don't want Jesus to touch that because it would degrade your social standing in the community. I'd rather degrade my social standing in the community than to rub my name off the Lamb's Book of Life. Then you won't let him in. That little pride holds him out. Listen to this next one. He said, if you hold selfishness and pride and malice and these things in your heart, he can't be Lord. Though you accept him in, he can't be Lord. Can't you see why God had to do this to Paul? All of these things we have read would have totally cut off Paul's flow to the body. Satan couldn't get his soul. He's sealed. Couldn't get that birth part. But if he can step pride in, then he comes and cuts off the flow. Paul hears young preachers preach and he sits there. Oh, come on. Good grief. Oh, pitiful. I can't believe I gave a service over to that whippersnapper. Lord have mercy. That's the way it affects preachers. And the way it affects some of you is you sit there and listen to them and say, oh man, I know more than that. I believe I... Well, will you want to preach next Saturday night then? Friends, this ain't just on preachers. It can be right there in the pew. So, oh, I tell you what, I know better than that. We better get cured of this eye. Listen to this, friends, how serious I'm going to close. You see what pride and selfishness does. It shuts you out from the kingdom of God. Is this serious? Shut you out of the kingdom of God. I knew a man that loved God with all of his heart. He didn't ask God to be called to preach, but God called him. I knew a girl, a woman, an older man, a younger man that loved God with all of their heart. They weren't really looking to be a Christian. God called them. But they had a tendency to be proud or arrogant. Or they had a tendency to be this way or that way. And their natural makeup, star that's born under the birth pass complexes they inherited down through the natural births. Brother Branham, I always wanted to be loved. Always wanted to be loved and accepted. And you can see him down through the stages of his ministry. When he comes to Pentecost and his mother-in-law tells him, you taking my daughter out there at that riffraff, that bunch of trash? He said, the worst mistake I ever made in my life when I listened to my mother-in-law instead of listening to God. Come on, that's what he said. Phoenix, 1951. Why? He wanted to be loved. He didn't want to hurt nobody's feelings. Satan, watch him in his ministry, uses that same thing over and over and over again. Going to quit preaching. Why? Because people ain't receiving him. Don't you see? He'd been born again. He had the new birth, but he still had this tendency there. Still had that. He wanted to be loved, wanted to be accepted. And yet God gave him a message that makes millions turn against him. You understand? Do you think that God works with the preachers and changes everything and makes it the way the preacher wants it? No. By human makeup, I'm a perfectionist. And then I'm a preacher. Boy. A preacher has never preached a perfect sermon. There's never been one on the earth outside of Jesus. He's got human mistakes. He'll say this wrong, say that wrong, quote this wrong, quote that wrong. And you got tons of people that will let you know about it. So you can imagine how that goes for a person whose human nature is a perfectionist. It goes against everything you are. Humanly. But I knew a man. I know a man who walks his places in God that many would give everything they own for. But I also know another man who pays such a price. I know a man that you folks come and sit and listen to, and you walk out and say, Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. But there's another man that has to sit with that computer in his lap with his fingers on that keyboard hours on end till his eyes nearly cross, so that other man can speak those words of life. Look at yourself. You know a man, Greg? Do you know a woman, Shirley? What about sisters? Do you know a woman? Do you know a man? Let's stand. Hallelujah. I knew a man. Oh my. Now I realize when you hear a sermon like this, my goodness, folks, that it goes sitting there and they're running in their mind and think, oh my goodness, should I not comb my hair? Should I not? You know, friends, comb your hair, please. Take a shower before you come to church. I mean, if nothing else, for the benefit of the rest of us. Polish your shoes. God don't get mad at you polishing your shoes and putting on a change of clothes. But look at your heart and see. Look and see, God. Don't let this category of pride. How many times have we all, you don't have to raise your hand, but we've been privileged to sit and hear wonderful things from the Word of God. And how many times have we exalted ourselves and think, you ought to hear what we hear preached at our church. No, I'm telling you what. Boy, you just don't know. And if we're not careful, instead of testifying to the power of God, a little bit of pride will get in because it's your church. Well, this is my church. This is where I go. And my pastor and our church and my... I knew a man. With the abundance of the revelations, Paul sought the Lord three times. And he asked him, wonder how long a span of time it was from the time he began to pray to God come and told him, my grace is sufficient. My strength is made perfect in your weakness. Yes. Now this is not sin. It's not that Paul goes out and sins and then God's grace is manifested so he can forgive him of his sin. This is not sin we're talking about. No. This is not, oh, well, I've got this terrible sin and oh, I just can't keep from sinning. But I know every time I sin, it brings glory to God. You're deceived. Amen. Paul was not sinning. This was an affliction. Something beyond his control. Amen. And Almighty God
said, my grace is sufficient. So then the man could look around and said, now I, Paul, the man, the unconverted part, I have something I can glory in. There's hope for this body. The thorn is my hope of a change. He's showing his care. This thorn is his love to me. It's not his disapproval. It's not his hatred. Paul said, I'll glory in my infirmities. It proves I have found divine favor. He loves the Paul, the man I knew, so much that he will not let this man hinder the flow in this man. So he stuck that thorn in me in order so that Paul could really flow out.
We think, boy, if I could.
But I wonder if it wasn't for some of those things that's around us. And most of them are out of your control anyway. I wonder if it wasn't for them. I wonder what kind of people, Brother Jim, we would be. We say, I could operate so much better if I wasn't under this. Really? Isn't it a paradox? A man who is not only a preacher but a writer. And God turns up the luminosity of the pillar of fire just enough to scorch his eyes, to leave that mark on his eyeballs. Because this is what his thorn was. So this thorn was inflicted when he met Jesus. But no doubt it must have got worse after that revelation into heaven. Instead of Jesus moving into heaven, this man is going to use his eyes to write. He's going to use his eyes to read quotes from the Old Testament. He's going to use his eyes to see the people and shake their hands. So it seems like it paralyzed his ministry. Seemed like his ministry, Brother Darrell, could have been so much more effective if he didn't have to write using big old letters. Can you imagine whenever Paul would have written these letters? It's like you're getting it from a school kid. Remember how you kids started writing big old letters and they'd learn how to write? Here Paul would write these letters when his eyes were bad, Brother Jerry, and they'd get them in his great old big letters because Paul couldn't see the small ones. He said, my, looks like he'd been better off if God would have healed the man. God calls him to do this, and then God leaves an element there that looks like he can't do it totally effectively because this element is there, and that element being there is what will help him to fulfill exactly what God wanted him to be. Oh, God. I think about myself. I think, God, if I could get myself out of the way, if I could be able to, as a preacher, 100%, where nothing of Donnie Reagan, no human part, no flaws, nothing, no mistakes, no nothing, nothing would ever come out of my mouth while I'm anointed. He said, just the word. I thank God I could flow so much better. I could be. But he looked at it different. So then somebody will tell me I said something wrong. I think, you are kidding me. I said that. I call this, that, and that, this. Lord have mercy. And I think, if I wasn't such a dummy, I might make a good preacher. If I could just learn how to talk and just learn. And them very things is what tells Donnie, you know what, Donnie? You ain't no preacher. You ain't no good. You need God. And without Him, you'll never be able to do it. You housewives ever feel that way? You mothers ever feel that way? You feel like a complete failure trying to raise your kids. You think, Lord, I don't know what to do. What about some of you other brothers as husbands and fathers and all that sort of thing? Whatever you're doing, you think, God, I don't know how in the world. We need Him, friends. We need Him. Heavenly Father, thank You for Your Word tonight. May each of us take these things, Lord, and ponder over them. As they take it to themselves and they could say, I know a man too. I know a woman, a boy or a girl. He's been privileged by God to hear, see, set in heavenly places because of that. A thorn, something that God in His grace would allow to be there to keep me where I need to be. Then Lord, help us that we can have the follow-up understanding that Paul did. That it's not because You hate us, but because You love us. May these things go deep into our hearts, Lord God, I pray. We love You, Father. In Jesus' name. And the saints said,
amen.
God bless you, children. I love you in the Lord. Pray for Carol and Brother Darrell and myself. We'll be leaving tomorrow and flying out to Phoenix. And got a couple of meetings out on the Indian Reservation Friday and Saturday. And then I'll be going down to Brother Ron Peterson's for two services on Sunday. So certainly desire your prayers there. The Lord give us safe travel and mercy and go before us and give us some good meetings. Y'all don't realize it, but y'all helped refurbish their church out there. So they've been wanting me to come out and have a little dedication service for a while. And it worked out where we could be able to do it and give them a little nicer place to be able to worship. If you've ever seen the picture of the church, and Brother Branham was on the Apache Indian Reservation, it's the same building, right, Brother Darrell? It's the same building that's standing now, and the picture was made in 1953, 4, 5, something like that. Brother Branham's standing out in front of it. So Brother Kevin Castador is the pastor there. So we certainly desire your prayers that the Lord will just go before us and be with us. And Lord willing, I'll see you when I get back. I love you with all my heart. Don't you appreciate His grace? I knew a man. I knew a woman, a boy or a girl. Then what will we do? We'll glory in our infirmities. Our tests, our trials. People laughing at us, making fun of us. Calling us whatever more. Well, if that's what I need to keep me down to where He can use me, then so be it. That's the way you feel? So be it. Let's sing it together, Harry. I love Him. I love Him. God bless you. I know you kids have got school tomorrow. Don't want to keep you late on Wednesday night. I appreciate you for coming. Go in the fear of God.